we're in a series called Rewired. It is about changing our lives by changing the way we think. And make no mistake about this, the way that you think has everything to do with the life that you live. The quality of your life, with where your life is going and the outcome of your life. Science tells us that our thought patterns produce neural pathways in our brain, and in a sense, it is the wiring of our brain. Those pathways, those thought patterns, are our default thinking, just the way we normally think. And it's difficult to change the way we think if we've thought a certain way for a long time. I think that's especially true the older we get. We've thought certain things for a long, long time. And it becomes difficult to really change the way that you think. But there is a power in the Word of God to renew the mind, to help us change the way we think. And the Bible tells us, this is our key verse, by the way, the Bible tells us in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Contrary to what pop theology and the religious culture of the day says, we are not supposed to be at all like the world around us. But if we don't change the way we think, too much of the time, we start or end up living too much like the world. No, we got to renew our minds so that our lives will be transformed. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change the way you think. It'll transform your life. That's what the Bible says. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, we might not just readily, quickly understand why is he talking about renewing our mind, and then he's talking about the will of God. Well, we just need to understand, without renewing the mind, there's no way that we can really grasp, much less live out, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God in our life. And for the most part, believers settle for something less than seeing the will of God, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God in their life. No, we want that in our life. And we first have to renew our minds. We can't be like the world and live in the perfect will of God. But we got to renew our minds so our lives are transformed. And then we're ready to really live in all that God has for us. Amen. That good, perfect, acceptable will of God. So much of our life, it is simply an outflow of our thought patterns. And if you change the way you think, you're going to change your life. You ever had the experience when you were sitting in church and the word was being preached and, you know, the presence of God was there and the Holy Spirit was there to help you understand and you saw things clearly? Maybe there's a situation in your life that you're struggling with and all of a sudden you see things clearly. You know what you need to do. You know what needs to change. And you go out and just a few days later or maybe a few weeks later, though, you begin to be confused and you just, you know, somehow you lack the resolve to do what was so clear to you in that service. Y'all kind of quiet, but I'm just going to, I know, I've been there.
Right.
And here's what happens, you see, in our minds, we got our thoughts thinking right, hearing the Word and the Holy Spirit speaking to us and dealing with our heart. But then the Word was snatched away. Then what we had received, the enemy comes along, and however it happens, those things that were so clear to us, all of a sudden, it's not so clear anymore. I'm just telling you, we have to keep our focus on the Word of God. We have to keep our focus on the things of God and not allow ourselves to fall back into the same old ways of thinking, or we end up living the same old way. But we can truly change our lives by changing the way we think. We just got to do some rewiring. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I want to remind you that in this verse, first of all, you see that the soul and the spirit are not the same. A lot of times people get their emotions and their thoughts mixed up with the spirit. Let me tell you, your spirit, if you're a born-again believer, your spirit is born of God. It needs no transformation. But your soul, your mind, will, and emotion, they need the Word of God to transform them. They need the Word of God to help us to get our thoughts right. You notice that the Word divides between soul and spirit, but it also judges, discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God will show you where your thinking is not right. It will show you what needs to change, not only in your life on the outside, but on the inside, what needs to change in you. But the Word of God has such a power to change the way we think, and that changes our life. Psalm 119, 165, it says this, "Great peace have those who love your law." Those who love the Word of God have peace because it changes the way they think. You see, we get our thoughts in line with God's Word. We get our thoughts in line with God. And I'll tell you, you'll have peace. I shared with you a few weeks ago that you were created for God. God created our minds in such a way that we could love Him, we could worship Him, we could interact with Him. The primary way we interact with Him is through prayer. We have this relationship with Him. In Isaiah 26 and 3, it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." I want you to begin to see peace in these verses. You know, see, we're talking about the last several weeks of messages, but there's peace coming up in all of these messages and these verses. And you see, as we get our mind on God, when we get our thoughts on Him, fix our minds on Him, there's perfect peace. Because we're trusting Him. We're turning those burdens over to Him. We're looking at a God that's bigger than all of our problems. That's right. And we have peace. Hallelujah. Last week, the message was about being spiritually minded. I shared with you from Colossians 3, 2, that we have to set our minds on the things above. We have to set our minds on spiritual things. Romans 8, 5, and 6, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. You see, if we're just going to live like the world, well, we just have our minds on carnal things, on the things of the world. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You want to live by the Spirit, you want to live as a Spirit-filled believer, then you got to have your mind on the things of God, on the things of the Spirit. Not what I want, not what I think, but Lord, what do you want? What do you think about this situation? We have our minds on the things of the Spirit, and here's what it says next. You see, here's the result. Verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life," and guess what? Peace. Amen. You see, when we live the way God wants us to, there's peace. Life and peace. What's happening here? My mind is on the things of God. My mind is in tune with the Spirit, and I end up with life and peace. Why is it that so often we are anxious and stressed out? It is our negative thinking. I want to say this very clearly this morning. This is not about just having positive thoughts. See, there's a worldly concept, you know, the world gets this, that, well, okay, we're going to quit thinking negative, we're just going to think positive. I'm not talking about a mind game, I'm not talking about denial, I'm talking about an almighty God that we put our faith and trust in, and we can have a real peace. There's a word that pretty much summarizes the vast majority of our negative thinking. It's worry. One way or another, it almost all falls under that category of worry. where we're going over and over negative thoughts, negative scenarios, problems and issues, and we go over it and over it, and that's worry. You know, it's really a good illustration, an example to explain what it means when the Bible tells us that we're supposed to meditate the Word of God. Because to meditate is to just go over the Word and over it, to replay it again and again, and to look at it from every angle. And that's exactly what we do in a negative way with worry. It is like a negative meditation that we're just going over this problem and over this situation and how bad it looks and what it might turn out to be again and again. Some people act like worry is a badge of honor that responsible adults wear. Yes, I worry because I have responsibilities. I want to tell you absolutely that you should be responsible, that you should obey the Word of God and do what God wants you to do.
That's right.
But you should also not do what He tells you not to do. And He says, don't worry.
Right.
Now, you know what? When somebody tells you, don't worry, that never helps really, does it? But what if it's Jesus telling you not to worry? I mean, what if Jesus tells you, hey, don't worry, I got this.
Amen. Come on.
I got His word on it. I'll tell you, when we worry, we're taking more on ourselves than the God of the universe ever intended. He doesn't want us to worry. We're not supposed to bear that burden.
That's right.
So what have you been worrying about?
Come
Stop
on.
It. Matthew 6, 25 through 34, and you know, as we read this, we're seeing where Jesus is telling these people not to worry about the basic necessities of life. You know, being able to have food to eat. I don't know about you, but I don't worry very much about that.
Right.
But we find something to worry about, don't we? Oh, we got plenty. All day long, every day. We can find something to worry about. Matthew 6, 25, he says, therefore I say to you, do not worry. I just have to mention to you how the King James Version translates this. It just sheds a little different light on the word worry here. It says, take no thought. We're talking about our thoughts. You see, we need to get a hold of our thought life. Jesus says, do not worry. Take no thought. Quit thinking about this. Quit worrying about this. Quit going over this in your mind.
Amen.
He says, take no thought. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is life, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Now, there's a little confusion about the translation of those words. It's certainly not talking about, can you add 18 or 20 inches to your height? That is not a good translation. Those same terms in the Scripture most often are speaking of a length of time. It's about adding a day to your life. You can't add a day to your life by worrying.
Right.
But I want to tell you the straight up, you can sure take one away. In fact, you can take years off your life by worrying.
Amen.
Dr. E. Stanley Jones at Johns Hopkins University doctor says, we do not know why it is that worriers die sooner than non-worriers, but it is a fact. He says, but I who am simple of mind think I know we are inwardly constructed in nerve and tissue, brain cell and soul for faith and not for fear. God made us that way. To live by worry is to live against reality. I'm telling you, that is so right. God did not make us to worry. No, He made us to trust Him, to rely upon Him. Not to live in fear, but to live in faith. And when Jesus tells you not to do something, three times in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, do not worry. Do not worry. You know, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, do not judge. And everybody's like, yeah, do not judge, do not judge. Three times he says, do not worry. Christian, it is a sin. Do not worry. He doesn't want you to live that way. And the consequences are very real. It impacts so much of our life in a negative way when we worry. Dwelling on negative thoughts, focusing on negative circumstances. Sometimes they're real, sometimes they're imagined. They're imagined because a whole lot of worry has to do with things that might happen. Lost my job, I don't know how we're going to pay the bills, and all worried and freaked out. Listen, our God is Jehovah Jireh. We just need to trust Him no matter what it looks like. But instead, so often we end up worrying about what might happen. I just tell you, you know, this last couple of years, I think people have just become more stressed, more anxious, more worrisome than ever. And I'm one of you. I'm right there with you. I understand. So often I wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning and can't go back to sleep, and my mind just starts racing through all of these issues and problems and negative scenarios, and what if this happens and what if that happens. And you know what? No good ever comes from that.
Right.
No, the only thing that comes from that is that it impacts my own life and my own health. And I can tell a lot of the times how that has impacted my health. Professor Lorenzo Cohen at MD Anderson Cancer Center says there's ample evidence that negative thoughts and feelings are harmful to the body. See, stress decreases the effectiveness of your immune system. At the same time, it creates inflammation in the body, causes headaches, it can cause heart disease, joint problems, weight gain, high blood pressure. But there is a way that I can turn that 3 o'clock, that 4 o'clock in the morning into something positive. And that is that when those thoughts come, I turn to God in prayer. And you see, there's something that happens when we begin to pray. You see, here's all these negative thoughts, negative scenarios are going over and over in our mind. But now I'm turning to an almighty God. Here's things that are hopeless, but now there's hope. Here's things that are impossible with man, but now I'm talking to a God. There's no impossibilities with God. No matter what's going on and all these negative scenarios, when I turn to God, all of a sudden my mind, my thoughts are no longer negative and anxious thoughts, but now they begin to be faith-filled thoughts and thoughts of trust. And guess what happens? Peace.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, I'm telling you, we were not designed to live in worry, anxiety, but instead to live in trust and peace and faith. Worry and stress is like sand in the machinery of life. It causes all kinds of problems in your life. But we have this powerful weapon against negative thoughts and worry. And it's not just trying to be positive. No, the weapons of our warfare, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, this is not just some worldly teaching. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And here is our powerful weapon that so often is just not used near enough. It is the weapon of prayer. Not only to bring about and effect change in our lives, in our family, our church, in our world, but also to tear down those strongholds, those of wrong thinking in our life, to change our thoughts from worry and anxiety and fear to something positive, focused in faith on God.
Amen.
Such power in prayer. Scientists have discovered that our brains have this plasticity. They used to think that however your brain was, that's just the way it was. It just deteriorated until you died. But they found that our brains can actually be changed. And just as physical exercise can change the body, mental exercise or changing the way you think can actually make changes in your brain. Amazing. There's been studies and research done specifically of the effects of prayer on the brain. And, you know, this is something that has become pretty common knowledge that they can look at your brain and see that certain areas of the brain highlight or light up when you pray. But now, there's also research. Here's a cognitive neuroscientist named Carolyn Leaf wrote, it's been found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain to such an extent that it can be measured on a brain scan. That they can actually see how that 8 weeks of prayer has changed the brain. Now, I don't need scientists to tell me that the Word of God is true or that it works. But I do think it's fascinating that science is catching up and understanding what the Word of God has said all along, that when we pray, there's something very real that happens, not only in us, but in our world. And I'm just saying to you, we need to use this powerful weapon of prayer to get rid of our worry, our stress, our negative thinking. Most of the time, if we're living with stress, I'm telling you, it is because of a prayer deficit. We deceive ourselves if we think that our problems, our troubles, are too big for God. No, they're not. We just need to take them to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Now, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. And you are. We can all say amen, right? Anybody got any trouble? Financial trouble, car trouble, spouse trouble, kid trouble. I mean, it's endless. Work trouble, school trouble, trouble in the economy, trouble with the government, trouble with our health, trouble even at church. All kinds of trouble. Most of us were troubled by our own thoughts. In Daniel 7:28, it says this, "This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale, but I kept the matter to myself." We're even troubled by our own thoughts. Certainly, we all know what that is. We've been talking about it. It's called worry, troubled by our own thoughts. Sometimes we can be tortured by our thoughts, going over and over all of the what-ifs and would-have, should-haves, and could-haves. And I'm just telling you, there's always something to be troubled about. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But here's what Jesus also said. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, Jesus wants us to have peace in the midst of a world of trouble. In your real life, with real problems, real trouble, He wants you to have peace. Amen. That you are not troubled. Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul talks about being in chains for the gospel's sake. He's in prison. But he says that what has happened to him has resulted in the furtherance of the gospel. This guy was such an optimist, but not in the traditional sense. No, he just had such a great faith in God that everything that happened to him, somehow he knew that God was going to turn it for good. Here he is, he's been chained up, imprisoned for preaching the gospel, and his attitude is, this has happened for the furtherance of the gospel. He's encouraging the Philippians that, hey, this has worked out for good. God is using this for good. Most of the time, you see, we would look at a situation like that and we would just say, oh, this is horrible. This is horrible. Look how things are going so bad in our world. Y'all don't get all quiet on me. We do this all the time. us American Christians like to talk and act like we're being persecuted. Let's talk about the Apostle Paul for a minute. He's in prison, but he says, this is turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Then when he gets to chapter 4, and we're going to read this from chapter 4 beginning in verse 4, he tells these people, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. He's not talking about just once in a while when you come to church. He's talking about always, that all the time we're always up rejoicing in the Lord. How can you do that? I want to tell you that you have to change the way you think. The reason we are so up and down emotionally, this roller coaster, I'm telling you, it's because we don't have control of our thought life. The Apostle Paul had control of his thought life. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And in the next verse, he explains to us a little bit. He says, let your moderation, your gentleness be known to all. Now, that means that we're not given to mood swings. We stay the same. And what is our moods, our mood? It is rejoicing. Amen. Always. We don't change. We're always happy in the Lord. We always have the joy of the Lord. Man, y'all know what I'm talking about? Amen. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. We're not supposed to be down. I'm telling you, a whole lot of the reason we're down, the reason we're struggling, it has everything to do with our thought life. And then he says, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. I mean, if we believe that our God can do anything and he's with us, why would we not be rejoicing? Why would we be down? Why would we be so upset and worried and anxious? Because too often we don't pray enough. The next verse, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, he says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. Well, you don't understand, this is really big. Nothing. This guy was beaten and whipped and stoned. He's in prison. And he says, be anxious for nothing, nothing. What would make you anxious? What would steal away your peace? What is it that you're dealing with right now that causes stress in your life? And they say that the use of anxiety medication is epidemic in our world. Hear me clearly. I'm not saying the anxiety is not real. I got an ugly email about this one time. I'm not saying the anxiety is not real. I'm not saying that it's not a real condition and a real problem. I'm saying that it is. But I'm saying that the Scripture tells us that in prayer, we can get free from that anxiety. That in prayer, there is a way to break through and have the peace of God, a peace that passes understanding. And so he says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, not with complaining, not with, you know, going to God and telling God how horrible everything is, but going to God and presenting your request with thanksgiving. He says, you make your request known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, wow, hallelujah, will guard your hearts and minds, your minds, through Christ Jesus. You see, there's something so transformational that happens in our minds as we pray and we're turning it over to God, and with that peace comes, it guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. But it is a choice that we make every day, and I'm telling you, either we're going to have cares or we're going to have prayers. Either we're going to have stress and anxiety or we're going to go to God in prayer. And I just have to tell you, you know, when something big comes, I think this is true of a lot of people, but it certainly is for me, that when something big comes, I know I got to pray. I know I got to go to the Lord. But a lot of the time, I let the little things just stack up and stack up and stack up until it's such a heavy burden of stress and anxiety in my life. You see, we need to take everything. He said, don't be anxious for anything. We need to take everything to the Lord in prayer and present our request to Him with thanksgiving. And there's a peace that comes. Now, you know, we've all experienced this before where we, you know, we just prayed a little short prayer. You know, people say, you know, I'll throw up a prayer. That always reminds me of vomit, Sorry, youth pastor coming out, but throw up. You're going to throw up a prayer? I don't even know what that means. But I do know this, that a lot of the time we pray and then we get up and we're just as anxious and stressed as we were before we prayed. And what that tells me is we didn't pray long enough. Because listen, I say this often, but we need to get this. It doesn't take God a long time to hear your prayer. He is not moved, Jesus said, by our many words. But sometimes it takes us a while to get to the place where we'll turn it over to God. One man went to his pastor. He said, Pastor, I am just so stressed out. Horrible anxiety and all of this. And the pastor said, well, you need to pray and give it to God. He said, well, I have many, many times. Quit taking it back. You got to give it to God and walk away from it. You got to turn it over to God. You got to get to the place where when you start praying with thanksgiving, you're not just going through the motions, you know, saying thank you because you're supposed to. You're thanking God because you believe that He's taking care of it. And sometimes, you see, we've got such a prayer deficit. It takes us a while to get to the place where we're finally free from all that load. I want to remind you that Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. See, that's what He wants for you as a child of God. He wants you to have rest. He wants you to have peace of mind. He doesn't want you living under all of that. You know, worry not only impacts your health, it impacts your relationships. When you're all stressed out, you know, sometimes you end up not treating your family right. And when you're all stressed out, it makes you a horrible witness. And when you're all stressed out, it's hard to be fruitful, to be effective in what God gives you to do for Him. It just messes everything up because we are supposed to be a people of faith. And when we are walking with the Lord in faith and we have peace, there's no limit to what our God can do in and through our lives. But notice here, He said, verse 7, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. See, a lot of the times when we pray, well, when we get up from prayer, the circumstances haven't changed yet. It doesn't make sense to have peace in the natural, it doesn't. But we have peace because we've turned it over to God.
Right.
We're trusting Him with it. And our God can do absolutely anything. And so when that peace comes, we have to make up our mind that we're going to let that peace guard our heart and mind. We're not going to let those old negative thoughts, those worries back in. No, you're praying, you know, and you're saying, thank you, Lord, that you supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. And you know what? Then when those thoughts come again, that how are you going to pay this? How are you going to pay that? You just stay focused on the word of the Lord. No, Lord, I know you're taking care of it. Thank you, Lord, for being my healer. Thank you, Lord, for keeping my child safe. I know your angels are encamped around about my children, protecting them. See, you just keep praying. You just keep trusting the Lord. You don't allow those thoughts of stress and fear and worry and doubt and unbelief to come back in. Let the peace of God guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. If you say, well, I prayed, but I'm still worried. I still feel anxious. Pray some more. 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 Oh, you can pray while you're driving. You can pray while you're doing the laundry. You can pray while you're swinging that hammer. I'm telling you, you can pray some more if you really want to. Pray some more. Make prayer. What's the Bible say? It says that we are to pray without ceasing. Here's one of the ways that you can get there in your life. When you start taking every need, every concern, everything that worries you, causes you stress, you start taking it to God in prayer. That's what He wants us to do. He wants us to learn to trust Him that way. Do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. When He tells you not to do something, that means it's a choice. It's also a choice to pray. We got to make that choice and receive the peace that passes understanding. It'll guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You know, our minds can be such a battlefield. And one of the things that determines whether or not we lose that battle is whether or not we pray. Peace will guard your heart and mind. But you can't go back to the same old kind of thinking. Those same old kinds of thoughts will try to come back. And you got to say, nope, peace is guarding my heart and mind. I'm not going there. I'm not letting that back in. I'm not going to think like that anymore. I've prayed about it. I've thanked God for it. I'm not going there.
That's right.
Those evil thoughts show up at your door. You just say, no, thank you.
That's right.
You give them the boot. Listen, the very next verse, he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things.
Amen.
I want you to hear me now. He says the things that are true, the things that are noble, just, pure, things that are lovely, things of a good report, anything of virtue, anything praiseworthy. But most of the time, believers are thinking about all of the lies. Did y'all know there's a bunch of lies?
Yes.
Oh, I did. Did y'all know that there's a bunch of injustice in our world? Now, that one really sets me off. It makes me fighting mad. I hate injustice. I can rant and rave about injustice. You know what I'm saying? Unholy things. Holy? What about all the unholy things? Immorality. All this bad. Pure. What about all the bad in our world? And we start focusing on all this stuff. It is no wonder we are filled with anxiety and stressed out and worried, and we can't get our minds where they need to be. Because we're thinking, we're focused on all the wrong things. The Scripture says, the Holy Spirit inspired these words. Think on these things. And the New King James, it says meditate on these things. And in some ways, I think that word is more accurate, but think is just a word that we use more commonly. But here's what it really is getting at. It's talking about habitual thought, the thought patterns. This should be our thought patterns, that we're thinking about the things that are true and noble and just. Who wrote this? The Apostle Paul, who's in prison for preaching the gospel. You talk about injustice. Whatever things are lovely, good report, praiseworthy, think about these things. Habitually, think about these things. So yes, you pray until the peace comes, and you let that peace protect you. You don't let the worry come back in, but you can't maintain that peace if you just go right back to the same old thoughts of thinking all that about all the terrible things that go on in our world. And you know what? Most of the time, what we habitually think, it eventually comes out of our mouth. Amen? I mean, most of the time, one way or another, it's going to come out of our mouth. And I can tell you that so many believers, they are thinking about all of the junk in our world because it's coming out of their mouth. If you catch yourself talking about all the lies, talking about all the injustice, talking about all the immorality, talking about all the unholy things, things that are bad in this world, guess what you're thinking about?
That's right.
Listen, I'm not denying those things are happening in our world. The Apostle Paul wasn't denying those things. He was living in the midst of a whole lot that most of us can't even imagine. But that can't be our focus. It will drag you down until it just beats the pulp out of your soul. No, you got to get your mind on the holy things and the pure things, the good things. Let me tell you something. Is there anybody bad in this world? Oh, there sure is. But how about we talk about all the people that are serving God and living for God? How about we talk about the teenagers that have turned their life over to Jesus? How about we talk about the drug addict that got saved? How about we talk about the person that got healed? How about we start talking about the things we're supposed to talk about? And you know why we don't? Because too much of the time we have filled our minds with negative thoughts. There are wonderful things, powerful things, amazing things happening all around the world every day. Amen. There are more people being saved today than at any time in human history. Amen. Why do we talk about that? Why don't we talk about all the good things happening at church instead of trying to be critical and find fault with something? I'm just telling you, it has everything to do with the way that we think. And the Bible says, think on these things. Yes, you pray until you get peace, but then you let that peace guard your heart and mind, and you just close the door to that negative thinking. You just say, no, I don't want that junk back in my thought life. I'm going to keep my mind on God. You will give him perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That's what our Father wants for us. And I'm going to close with this one thought. Let every problem, every worry, every stress be a trigger to turn you to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Whatever comes, whatever happens. Now, you ought to pray other times too. But every time you're stressed, every time you have an anxious thought, every time there's a fear, a worry, you turn to God in prayer. And I'm telling you, you will find such peace, a peace that passes understanding, a perfect peace, a great peace. I'm telling you, this is for us. This is the way that we're supposed to live. He doesn't want you to be under that load anymore. No, he wants you to be free. I believe the truth of God's word sets free. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I believe some people are getting free this morning because the word has changed your thinking, that you believe the truth, and it's time for you to get free. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for prayer partners to come.